Do you have microphones that'll bank the mistakes? Can they detect those and bank them for
later? Do you
have
one that feels like a one-act play in a college black box about hell?
You know that you know that football coach I had that really, really did not like me? Can it be in his voice?
Yeah. Can it be? And maybe like a little of that, like his cologne on the mic.
Could it also turn me on somehow while it does that?
Just walked by.
That's what the cologne thing is for?
Frankly, how could it not?
But then shout at me in the voice of my youth minister about me getting turned on.
Hey, there is a new Yeti out. We'll see what it can do.
And it somehow sonically recreates the porn you look up. And I think that's great.
Yeah, it plays right into the podcast. The new Yeti looks great, I'm telling you. It's covered in buttons, all of these weirdly existential.
Takes your temperature.
It's got a spit valve, which is nice. For me, specifically.
Does it have the problem with the grease trap that the old one had?
Sure, no. You can still fry hush puppies in it. It's a microphone that allows you to fry food while you're talking. It spills and it burns, but it's better than the old one. That's for
sure. If I'm ever distracted on the pod, it's because I am trying to fry food separately. And thank God this problem has ended and I can fully devote my attention to the podcast.
I would like to briefly, now that I've said it, mention just shout out hush puppies. What a sleeper food. What a sleeper side. You dip it in anything.
Jordan classic free promotion for a thing that refuses to sponsor us.
Listen, you know how they got those Got Milk commercials that seem to be just for milk?
Yeah.
Just for the product of milk. What about that for just pups?
Hush puppies.
There's not as fun a visual.
Yeah, well, it's also, exactly. It's because, you know, on audio, you don't know if we're talking about the food or the shoes.
You got them.
You know?
That's true. You can deep fry the shoes, and I think everyone knows that.
Yeah.
What about the shoe filled with the food?
You got pups on hand?
You know there's some state fair that's tried that.
For sure.
Yeah. Like it's, you know, you go for two reasons. You go to see Godsmack and to eat the hush puppy stuffed hush puppy deep fried in butter.
You go to see the 58-year-old lineup of Disturbed perform at 4 p.m.
He can't even fit into his horrible mask anymore.
His face skin is so loose, all the piercings fell out.
Ladies and gentlemen, and everyone in between, welcome to Fight Island, the podcast about fictional fights in the very real island where they take place. My name is Jordan Dahl.
I'm Sam Wiles.
And joining us today, the very hilarious, my friend and yours, Andy Sell is here.
Hi.
On this, the day of Kurt Russell's wedding.
Kurt Russell. Finally made it official with Goldie. Finally.
It's him from that Santa Claus movie marrying him as Snake Plissken. Finally. Locking it down. We had a couple of topics in mind. He's 70, huh? He's a year younger than my dad.
He's like 2 years younger than my dad.
A mere whippersnapper in dad years. We thought about doing the Universal Monsters because you're a big monster head.
You have a
fixation. You're haunted by them.
I'm literally wearing a Famous Monsters of Filmland shirt. right now.
I thought said Famous Monsters of Finland when you first came on the Zoom.
Have you heard of Eric?
And I was like, oh God, he's so much better at this. It's just a power move on the shirt. Those esoteric Finnish monsters.
Did you think we were talking about Dracula and Frankenstein? No, we're not. We're talking about the milk troll.
Yeah. Talking about Greg the Rude Fish Man.
And Grandpapa White Whiskers.
The milk troll really got me. It was a weird thing back then where everything craved milk. They were like, it is the sweetest thing we know of. Snakes love it.
Yeah.
God can't get enough. Crocodiles, they will kill for it. But I digress. We decided not to go that way. But we're going to do Kurt Russell's. We're going to do a Russell tussle. We're going to do a wrestling match, a Russell off. The characters of Kurt Russell, and nary shall Kurt Russell enter the match. Nary will the man himself be present. Mm-hmm. Simply the characters. We're going to fight them for any...
Yes, the masks he wears.
Exactly, the masks we all wear at some point.
The many forms Russell chooses to appear in.
The forms that Russell chooses to show us understand
Zeus.
Him.
Like Zeus, yeah. He appears as a horny swan most of the time.
With an eye patch. Yeah.
That's the meta-narrative of Kurt's career, is that we all, at some point in our lives, play Santa and we play captains. Ron or otherwise. Yeah. That's what you have to understand about what Kurt Russell means.
There's a little bit of the 1980s U.S. Olympic hockey team coach in all of our experiences.
I'm going to, I don't need to in this one, but I'm going to do the spiel just so any Andy Sellheads joining us can know what the game is we're about to play. It's basically a big game of who would win in a fight between. It's video game rules, so old people can fight gay people, men can fight women, dogs can fight babies, whatever needs to happen. But in this case, doesn't matter. It's all Kurt all the time. We do lightweight, middleweight, heavyweight round. We're talking, I think in this case, we will classify weight class by what are the important Kurts and what is a lightweight Kurt? We'll know them when we feel them. We'll all discuss who we think should be in each bracket. We'll discuss how we think the fights would go down, strengths, weaknesses, etc. And then at the end of each bracket, the three of us will vote to see who wins each round. So we're going to start out with the lightweight bout. Who do you think of when you think of lightweight Kurt Russell characters? I mean, are there any? You know,
we referenced him up top, Santa Claus.
Yeah,
Santa
I was just going to say this, because Santa Claus is deceptive. Truly. Because it's a heavyweight character.
Truly,
but in the canon of Russell, is a lightweight role.
And specifically, if Santa Claus, if Santa Claus showed up and was anyone but Kurt Russell, I'd be like, oh shit, it's Santa Claus. Yeah, but if it's Kurt Russell. I'm going to be like, wait a minute, you're not
Santa Claus.
You're
just
Kurt Russell.
Do you also work for Santa Claus, Kurt Russell?
What's with the Santa get up, Kurt?
Are you filling
so
in?
Yeah. Yes. I think Santa Claus from what was it? The Kringle Chronicles or something?
I think it's
Kringle
called
and,
the Santa
it's Kringle and Cash. Kringle and Cash is what it's called.
Tango and Kringle sounds terrible. That's a terrible marriage of words.
That sounds like an awful meal that someone prepares for you. Come on in. I made Tango and Kringle.
It's a sitcom about an Argentinian nobleman. And, Mrs. Santa Claus.
And the rest writes itself. Okay, so Santa Claus, obviously. What Kurt would you pit against Santa Claus?
Another legendary character that you see as Kurt, Wyatt Earp.
Oh,
from Tombstone. Yeah.
Oh, that's he's not. Earp is heavyweight.
Interesting. Yeah.
Earp is heavyweight.
At least middle.
Because
I think.
He also that's also not, I mean, okay, we're talking characters, not whatever, but metadata wise, he also basically directed that movie.
Sure.
So it's like
Earp.
Earp is too.
Put an Earp on a shelf.
Yeah, save Earp.
Nobody puts Earp in
middle
a corner.
Way at the lowest, you know?
Yeah. I like it though. I like where your head's at. And when is Kurt Russell also a kindly figure? What other films?
Well, so my first thought as far as Santa Claus is to match his power level, you know, because again, Santa's a powerful character.
Godlike, I would say.
So you put him up against Ego the Living Planet. Guardians of the Galaxy, because he's
I love that
it's like good dad versus abusive dad.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm locking it in. That's perfect. All right, so our lightweight round.
Our lightweight is fighting between two gods. It's like
a battle that could end a galaxy.
Okay, our lightweight round begs the question, who would win in a fight between Santa Kurt Russell Claus and E. Kurt Russell Go, the living planet? And I guess this takes place in the fucking the Fight Island, you know, pocket universe, the same dimension where, you know, Dr. Manhattan fought Vishnu, I think, one time. So, you know, we're out in space, and I imagine like Santa Claus has to deliver like, we got one more stop on the way to Christmas or whatever. And he's got to
Goldie's house.
On the way to Goldie's house. She wants a PlayStation 4. The 5 just came out, Goldie. Come on. and he has to deliver presents. He's been tricked. He has to deliver on Ego, the living planet, you know, and gets there and is like, there's some kids here. What's the deal?
The present is a tied up Chris Pratt. Yeah.
Exactly. And then, I mean,
I had to gag him. He wouldn't shut up about Jesus the whole
ride. come on. We're trying to keep it secular. Right?
Speaking of Christmas, guys, how about the one that's driving you around?
How about our respect? Here's the thing. I think Santa Claus is in the position, in the unique position, to have the power to, like, at least outmaneuver a planet. A planet's going to be slow.
Yeah.
And Santa Claus literally runs circles around a planet for a living.
Yeah, that's he does the Superman thing where he flies the sleigh around the planet to turn back time. He can do that.
Could get, you know, Ego going all kinds of places. And as long as he doesn't touch down, he's also in a sleigh.
He does it until Ego, you know, it's like the Benjamin Button thing. It like makes Ego younger.
Turns him into that brain.
So he turns him into a baby planet. Well, and then he implodes on himself.
What beats a god planet? Well, a Time Lord. That's clearly...
Santa Claus is a Time Lord.
And Santa Claus is a Time Lord. Yeah. 100%. This all checks out.
I want to know what Neil deGrasse Tyson thinks of this. How's our physics? Oh, my God.
Yeah, right?
I don't.
Didn't he like drag the Superman thing? Like, yeah, it wouldn't actually turn everything back in time. It's like, yeah.
He also wouldn't be from Krypton, the fake place.
He's an alien cape man.
Also, have you met white people in Kansas? That he's not he's not growing up great.
Oh, truly. It's very the
not
idea
in
of
Sam
doing
Brownback's land.
The idea.
Yes, a child Clark Kent is malnourished because they don't have any state funds.
The idea of doing like an update of Superman, but he's just horribly maladapted to society and life outside of where does he live? Farmville.
He lives inside your phone.
I knew it.
Do people still play that? Is
some
that
people
still
do.
A thing? Okay.
Yeah,
that's
it's
insane.
A sickness.
Right. I think every phone game has a weird diehard audience as long as it's famous. Like, I think Candy Crush is still like going strong.
Listen, there's I understand like never before the need to farm in video games. Games like games like Stardew Valley and like now fucking Valheim have really made me like, well, I got to get out to those digital crops. I hope everybody likes digital turnips because that's what we're having through the winter.
It gives your day shape nowadays.
Yeah, it's a weird shape, turnip shaped. Anyway, here's the problem. I think that if Santa Claus so much as sets foot upon Ego, the human planet, the living planet, it's all over.
Oh, yeah. No, he can't.
And I think almost the kindness inherent in Santa Claus is going to cause them to do at least just that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, because that's the thing, right? Santa Claus, he would try to teach Ego like a Christmas lesson, you know? He would try to be like, well, you should
sucker for a Christmas lesson.
He'll try to do some therapy on Ego. Yeah. And I don't see that working out.
Yeah, he's going to crush him and then take his like weird power and then probably like come back to Earth and destroy Earth.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, probably.
I also see if Santa touches down on Ego, what was Ego's thing? He kept like procreating too, like couldn't stop. He starts making like weird halflings out of the presents. Like it's very like, and then he has like a gross army of like half PlayStation, half creature. And like he's now made this army of present beings. Well,
now what Santa Claus touches down and
to get there, Ego, the planet had to fuck all the presents. That's what I want to be clear.
I picked that.
And Ego.
That means you could have a Chucky here too.
If
Santa Claus is delivering a good guy doll to some kid.
And listen, I'm telling you right now, in a fight between Chucky and Santa Claus, Chucky wins. It's just too good of an image. It's just too good of a t-shirt.
Yeah, it's David slew Goliath. Chucky slew Santa Claus.
Yeah. But I think that like So Santa Claus touches down. Ego presents themselves as a lady Santa Claus, procreates with Santa Claus. What Santa Claus doesn't know is that they're actually procreating with another Kurt Russell, and Kurt procreates has a double Kurt, which then beats the shit out of Santa Claus.
Which Kurt Russell is it? I'm thinking Herb Brooks from Miracle,
yeah,
the hockey coach.
That's what we don't see coming is that the perfect marriage of DNA between Ego the planet and Santa Claus. Is the character Herb Brooks.
Evens out.
Not even the real person Herb Brooks.
No, the character from the movie Herb Brooks.
Okay, so now Herb Brooks is in
and he's going to have Santa Claus doing suicides for hours.
Oh my God, he gets Santa in perfect shape.
He's like, all right, Santa, if we're going to take out the Ruskies.
We got to work that frosting off.
We got to work on that slap shot. You're real aggressive in the rink, kid, but you're not so good on those skates.
Magical powers.
My vote is for Santa because Herb Brooks turns Santa into like an underdog contender. Mm-hmm. And Santa, the ultimate underdog versus a whole planet. He and the reindeer get just in hella good shape, great skaters, and they skate the planet backwards. That's my vote. Okay.
They skate the planet backwards.
I mean, I got to give it to Ego. You know, Ego is a planet. The thing is, Santa Claus is filled with kindness and Santa's going to get there and be like, there's no kids here, but I got a present for little Susie. Ah, hell, I'll land the damn reindeer. And then lands on the surface of the planet. Gobble, gobble. You know?
You think it's that simple?
I think Santa Claus is very powerful and is going to, you know, shush around and try to tilt this thing off the axis. But at the end of the day, Santa just is just one man.
Isn't it a perfect Kurt Russell line that he as Santa goes, here's a present for you, and it's a warhead he throws into the middle of the planet?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, Andy, what do you think?
Andy, you're the tiebreaker.
Oh, man. Look, whoever wins, we lose. You know what I mean?
That is while true. There must be a winner. The island demands order.
I believe in miracles. I'm going with Santa.
It's Santa. It's ding, Santa. Ding, ding. I knew it was Santa. Honestly, I was saying Ego just for the flavor. It was Santa.
You know,
Santa's
bringing the heat. Hey, you catch me on a different day than today, I might say Ego, you know?
Sure.
Just today, I'm feeling a little bit of the spirit, you know?
Santa was always going to crack this planet wide open and feast on the goo within. ding, ding, ding. Santa Claus feasts on Titan flesh and grows eternal. Okay, next up, middleweight Kurtz. We've already got Earp. Kurt Earp, I think, could make an appearance here in the middleweight.
Yeah.
Toughness, high toughness factor on anyone from the Wild West.
Yeah, it's obviously. Almost like you got to put Earp in because the heavyweights, you know.
Sure.
There's like four or five heavyweights, and it's like we can only do two. So.
But they're enormous. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's keep. I like Earp in the middleweights. Again, another character that anybody else, he's in the heavyweight.
Mm-hmm.
But
what now? Okay, so who would you put up against? Who would you put up against?
I'll throw out my favorite Kurt Russell, which is MacReady from The Thing.
Wow.
Excellent Kurt.
That's my favorite Kurt.
That
he's another one I would have pegged as a heavyweight, but actually I don't know, man. It's weird. You could do a whole season just on Russell.
True.
Yeah. Yeah. The heavyweights are so heavy. That's
the heavyweights
true.
Are so heavy. And there's like two big ones that are like, nah, these are the there's guys. Two.
Yeah. What the heavyweights are so heavy because they're also the like fightingest.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
What about the guy also just like to say, he played Elvis in John Carpenter's
he
Elvis.
Did play. See, that's what I was thinking is another real life figure.
Sure.
Maybe Elvis. Pretty good. Or the president in Executive Decision.
I mean, Elvis is pretty good.
Elvis versus Earp, EVE.
I like it. I like MacReady v. Earp too. What about MacReady v. Elvis? What about MacReady v. Elvis with the thing inside him?
What about Elvis v. Earp on the in Antarctica?
Outpost 31.
Yeah, Outpost 31. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So the thing,
and
the thing
and
is
they're
a factor.
Trying to decide which one of them has the thing inside.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's Earp versus Elvis trying to convince each other to take the fucking blood test.
Okay. 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 Okay, so the question before us for the middleweight bout.
If we were going to get fan art, this is when we need more submitted fan art, for God's sake.
The question before us is, who would win in a fight between Wyatt Earp, Wyatt Kurt, if you will, and
Elvis Russley?
Elvis Russley. Thank you.
I don't know.
No, that was it. That was it.
Pretty good.
Thank you. Okay, what are you thinking? Smart money says Earp.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the killing machine with the guns.
Yeah, the gun man.
Yeah, the man who has killed. I mean, we don't know about Elvis, honestly.
Now, here's the thing. You have to. Yeah, sure. I'm sure Elvis in some capacity has like, I got $500,000 to spend. I want to kill an orangutan or at least something like that.
Yeah.
I want to choke a fella to death.
I want to kill Natalie Wood.
Sorry, can't. No, can do. I think you gotta remember, how would somebody from the 1800s, how would like a rootin' tootin' cowboy react to Elvis? Would they be blown away?
See,
or would they be like, what in the hell are you?
Here's the questions. Are they, so they're at Outpost 31, so they're not in a saloon. I was going to say, because if it's in a saloon and he's with Doc Holliday, they're having fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they're going to watch the show. You know?
True. But that's not what this is. Is it? Is
no, it? No, it never is. Unfortunately.
It's a terrifying cloistered situation.
Very tense, I imagine lots of sweat.
I imagine it's just the two of them. There's not enough booze for either of them.
Oh god,
both of them are fucking.
I mean, that's right. That's
the dogs
what
are just piles of tendons.
It just devolves into a drinking contest, and then Elvis Presley gets Wyatt Earp into pills.
You like that, do you, Earp? Here, I got something to blow your hat right off, man.
I got stuff you guys didn't even know about in the 1800s.
Oh, you think that opium was pretty swell, huh?
I say one of us is a Munster. I think, like, I think it's the fellow with the strange shades on. I think like fucking Wyatt Earp would do the test right away. I think he'd like put a cigarette out on his hand, you know, to prove that he ain't the monster. And then Elvis would be like, Jesus, goddamn, man.
I like the idea of the Elvis being transplanted to a lot of horror movies. Oh, hell, it's 28 days later.
Oh, my God, you got it right in your eye. You dumb son of a bitch. Lock the doors. Lock the doors.
There's zombies in this dang mall.
Fucking hell. I do think that Earp, if it literally is like a thing situation, and it's like, hey, one of us is the thing, that we have to figure it out. I think that I could see Wyatt Earp taking control of that situation right away, like cutting off a finger style, or like stabbing himself through the hand to be like, it ain't me.
Yeah.
And
then,
and Elvis is going to take a lot more doing, and then it's going to come to a tussle, and Elvis, he could fight. I mean, he was in the army. He did basic training.
Yeah.
He knew ornamental kung fu.
That's the other thing, is like, it's like, what age Elvis are we talking about here? Are we talking about, because the thing, it's also Kurt Russell Elvis, not just regular Elvis.
Yeah.
So it's Kurt Russell Elvis. So it's like,
it's a little tougher Elvis to me.
It's a little tough. He's a little tougher.
A real, real honky tonk hero Elvis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, are we talking, because even old Elvis, Kurt Russell Elvis, mm-hmm. is going to be like a little tougher, you know, a little less like, oh, I'm going to do too many pills, and a little more like, I'm actively hating myself. And that's
sure.
That's the focus here. I don't know.
I also think Wyatt Earp's at a distinct disadvantage than he usually would be, because it's too cold for conventional revolvers from the olden times. Since we're at Outpost 31, it's like he can't use his thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And it's just Elvis and Earp. That's the other thing. We don't have Doc Holliday. We don't have Elvis's, Jesus Christ, what's his name? Captain...
fuck, what is his friend's name? What's Elvis's friend?
Elvis's friend.
His buddy, the colonel.
The colonel, yeah, Colonel Parker.
Yeah, there we go.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if it's not, I don't know. Yell at iTunes or whatever.
So he's fine. Like, and those are those two guys. Like, it's almost one of those things where you kind of like, you want those guys to do like a run in.
Yeah. In wrestling. Yeah. Well, I think what ends up being maybe the tiebreaker is if MacReady's there and he's determining which of Elvis or.
Oh, that's a good point.
Earp is the monster.
Well, MacReady's the ref. Yeah.
Russell as MacReady as the ref, I think puts us in different territory.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's got them both. I mean, it's also like, maybe it's more a battle of the wits kind of thing, where MacReady has Elvis and Earp tied up.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're both trying to convince MacReady that the other one is that, like, they broke the last blood sample or whatever.
Yeah.
And MacReady's got the flamethrower and he's got to decide which of these guys is the thing.
Yes. That is what ends up happening. So we're in that scenario. They're tied up. What's tough is MacReady is an Elvis fan. It's the right era, man. He loves him.
Oh, for sure.
MacReady was watching, you know, weird Hawaiian movies where the whole plot is that Elvis has to sing on time or whatever.
Yeah.
So. We're like, Wyatt Earp is so much more of an abstraction. He's got them tied up. Ugh. Does one of them have the monster in them?
Right, that's the question. That's right. Now it's like, this isn't less of a fight and more of like, mm-hmm. this is just a scenario. This is like a puzzle. This is a logic puzzle that we have to figure out.
If you can solve this, this is how you get into most law schools.
Yeah, this is actually the thing that's on the chalkboard in Good Will Hunting. I don't know. Because it's like a lot of it is, I think Earp is just so tough that even Elvis, because Elvis was a man like, you know, even as Russell played him, legendarily kind of like filled with this, I don't want to say self-doubt, because that's clearly not the case. But you know what I mean? Like this self-loathing.
You can't imagine that Earp's self-esteem waned, You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
Earth was never like, not enough people love me.
Yeah, it was the exact. It was the 1800s. Like, that part of him got beat out of him when he was four. Like, there was no vulnerability in Wyatt Earp.
You could never have an impacted bowel. There wasn't enough time to poop.
Yeah. If you needed, you just had somebody shoot it out with a gun. Like, yeah.
Hey, can you root and tootin' this out of me? I got some stuff going on. Yeah.
I got somewhere to be. Give me the old Carson City colonic.
Okay. I think my vote has got to be Earp because even if he has the monster in him. So we determined that MacReady is there being the ref and that Elvis and. So my vote is Earp because Earp, even if he has the monster within him, mm-hmm. he won't give any hints where Elvis isn't as steel nerved.
Yeah. Regardless
of monster would lose. I think MacReady torches Elvis.
You think Earp would win it for poker face alone?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same Andy.
Oh, well, that's what I said initially too, but I think. I can see a scenario where
here's the thing.
Elvis would be like, wait, if this is going to be the end of me, can I just get one last song in?
Let me sing one more.
Yeah.
Let me sing one more hit. Come on.
Yeah. And he's going to sing.
He starts doing it and they can't resist.
Love me tender.
Yeah. He's going to sing love me tender. And MacReady as an Elvis fan is just going MacReady's going to break down. And turn the flamethrower on himself.
I think here's the thing. I think you guys are right. I think if this is a test of nerves, which it would be, it would come down to, I think Wyatt Earp has the grit to make it happen. But Elvis, one thing you're forgetting, Elvis is a performer. The king, mm-hmm. some would say. And if it's an act,
shit, if all I have to do is pretend to be a person, I've been doing that for free for years. Come on.
I pretend to be a Hawaiian guy constantly.
Do you think I can do it? I got two words for you. Clam bake.
No, I think you guys are right. That's three for Earp. Three Earps in the hole.
Ding, ding, ding.
Earp takes it. Earp kills the king. There's a new king in town. That's what the headlines will say. Earp kills king. All right.
The old brain fight at Outpost 31.
Here it is. Okay, so here it is. Everybody's been waiting all year long for decades, millennia. They've been waiting for this fight. Here we go. Kurt Russell, heavyweight bout. Who are the heavyweight Kurts?
I think there's only two options, right?
I agree. Unless you say different ones than I'm.
What if I was like, the guy from Sky High and the dude from Breakdown.
The dude from Overboard.
Yeah.
Dutch or whatever.
Oh, man. That's the thing, right? It's like it could be because my two, what I would say are, mm-hmm. I mean, Snake Plissken.
And the guy from Jack Burton. Big Trouble in Little China. Yeah. Jack Burton, obviously, is his name, but my brain don't think good.
And now it's weird because it's like we don't even have Captain Ron. Captain Ron's not even here.
Oh, fuck. We forgot about Captain Ron.
Is it at sea?
I love Captain Ron. Yeah, they've rented a schooner to take him out. We're almost there, boss.
Yeah. He's taking the MacReady ref role.
Yeah, it's a fight. Yeah, it's a fight where it's Jack Burton versus Snake Plissken. The only way to do this is in international waters.
International waters. You got to. This shit's gonna get down and dirty, man.
It's called Escape from Big Trouble in the Pacific Ocean.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay, so question before us, who would win in a fight between Snake Plissken and Jack Burton? This is one for the ages. This is like legit, like this is road trip fuel, you know? We could drive for 4 hours on this fight.
Yeah,
alone.
I could drive from where I am to where you are.
Truly.
Pick up Sam. Although Sam's further away.
Yeah.
I pick up Jordan. We drive out to Sam. The entire way Jordan and I are having this conversation. Yeah. And then we get to Sam and we're like, all right, mm-hmm. you're coming with us. And then we drive to the North Pole and we're still talking about this.
And who's there? Snake Plissken.
Santa Claus.
Santa Claus. get in the sleigh. Okay, so yeah, international waters on a, you know, an I'll say a hijacked aircraft carrier that is piloted by Captain Ron. He thinks he's got it figured out up there. And yeah, they're fighting on the deck of this thing, and like my gut says, here's the thing. So like Jack Burton, he's a tough guy. He's fought monsters. He's fought crazy sorcerers and such.
Yeah.
But he's also a blowhard. You know, a lot of it probably never happened. A lot of it, I think up until Big Trouble in Little China, I think that one kind of caught him by surprise. You know, he was like, oh, now I'm in the thick of it and I got to Uzi my way out. whereas Snake Plissken is... the fucking, that's like the darkest of all Kurtz. That's like the chaotic evil, like this is the dark future, you know. If this Plissken wins,
yeah,
it's not gonna be great for everyone. He's the Bane, you know. He was born in it, raised in the shadows, but also that depth perception.
There's the depth perception. There's also the thing about Jack Burton that people discount because, yes, okay. Like, that's, yeah, the whole point of that character is that he's a blowhard and that he's sort of like a lampooning of action stars. You know, that's the whole joke. Yeah. But, like, God, what is movie. It's so fucking good.
It's so good.
his great power is that hubris.
Truly.
With white male privilege, like it's mediocre.
Yeah,
his whole thing is mediocre cis hetero white male privilege personified, and it's like he's rolling nat 20s all the time.
Yeah, it's like putting on a pilot's uniform and walking into the captain's lounge. You know, nobody's gonna stop you.
Yeah, you get on the plane and somehow you just luck into figuring out how to fly the plane.
It would just keep going with him. Is like he believes he's the ultimate fake it till you make it, you know.
He believes
in his own legend so much that he always pulls it off.
Yeah,
you know,
like there's that fight scene towards the end, right, where he like raises his what is that, a MAC-10 or a Tech-9 or something. He raises the gun and fires it in the air.
Mm-hmm.
In his like white frat boy yeehawness, and shoots a hole in the fucking ceiling, and a rock drops and falls on his head and knocks him unconscious, and that saves his life, probably.
Thus saving his life.
Yeah.
He does have a bit of the boob factor that we've mentioned before, which is kind of stumbling into like stumbling Kramer like into fourth.
Yeah, he's got fighting luck.
Yeah, exactly. He's just constantly rolling nat 20s. He's doing shit.
He's got a bit of a domino. Yeah.
Yeah.
A high luck character for sure. High luck doofus.
And he like that at the end where Lopan throws the knife at him and he catches it. He plucks it out of the air, throws it back without even thinking. To quote Jack Burton, it's all in the reflexes, and hits Lopan directly between his fucking eyes. Like,
which is crazy, right? Which is like, he's got the reflexes, you know, he's got the skills to pay the bills.
But also I also think that's just luck. He just pulled it off. Like,
really?
Yeah. He absolutely didn't like plan it. Where I think Snake is, man, he's sinking a half court shot with one eye. That's actual skill.
Yeah,
he had to do it.
That is
true. That's all pressure.
I'm thinking though, like, okay, now that I remember correctly, Jack Burton had drank that magic potion.
Oh, that's right.
That Ed Chen gave him where he felt invincible. So it's like, I've always wanted the story on that. Is that a placebo?
There is so much more that I want.
Is it Kava? It's Kava tea, right? It's Four Loko. I don't know.
Yeah, it's that mud water that you see on Instagram that's like a blend of weird roots and shit. Lion's mane mushroom? What? You want me to drink it?
Yeah, okay. I'm invincible, man. I'm invincible.
He was just tripping balls. I'm invincible!
But is that why he landed that hit with the knife?
I would love...
Is that a performance enhancing drug that would be not... allowed during this fight.
Well, honestly, if anything, I think he would probably be like, maybe unbeknownst to him, transported to the arena with a batch of this nearby, you know, because it's part of his kind of idiom. I could see him getting his head like bashed through some boards by Pliskin, and he's like, oh, there's some eggs potion in here, you know, and he drinks it. And then it's on, you know.
Yeah,
and
like
then he
Popeye gets that with the spinach.
Luck, yeah. First of all, I want so much more from the Big Trouble in Little China universe. I have so many questions. I have questions about that weird eye thing. I have questions about that monster that came out of the hole at them. What's Egg's deal? What did he do before this? Let's get a sequel, huh?
Like Boom. I think
Chris
it was
Pratt
Boom
put for the out sequel.
Boom put out a comic book series. I think it was Boom. It might have been Dynamite,
Holy
but I think
fuck.
It was Boom.
That's exactly what I want.
Yeah,
that'll do nicely.
Yeah, it's like a continuing adventures of kind of deal.
Damn it, I should ask for cash. All right, I gotta say, I'm ready to lock in a vote, and I think it's for Snake Plissken, and it's because Snake is just a hard son of a bitch. You know, Snake has seen hard times. Snake has had to escape from LA and New York prison islands. We're not talking about prisons where you get to go to your cell block and read, you know, fucking Harry Potter or whatever. That's what I would read in there. We're talking about
Jordan would do very well in prison. He'd bring all 7 Harry Potter books and be friends
and
with everyone.
I'd tell everybody about the lore. At the end of the day, he's a hardened criminal, whereas Jack Burton is kind of a folk hero, which in and of itself has like a benefit. But this motherfucker surfed on a tidal wave. Come on.
Snake Plissken is a folk hero, too, because that's the thing. People keep meeting him and they've heard of him and they're always
they
like, I thought you'd
him.
Be taller is, I think, the thing. Or I heard you were dead. heard you were dead. Right. That's what they say to him.
Yeah.
also. Just that, like that line Lee Van Cleef gives him at the beginning, where I'm ready to kick your ass out of the world, war hero. And Snake Plissken remains cool the entire time that he's
ice
hearing
cold.
That shit. It's like, yeah, president of what? Like,
he's ice cold, literally earning that snake name. The guy. He kills, I think more than one person gets killed by something he spits as a projectile. I know that he shoots that plastic surgery guy in the head with like a weird dart thing.
Yeah.
He's full of tricks. He's full of tricks. And you'll come up all bravado and you'll shoot a fucking Tech Nine in the air around Snake Plissken, and you got a knife in your ribs. What are you shooting it in the air for? You should have shot me, kid.
I just think so Andy can be the tiebreaker. I'm gonna go Jack Burton. My logic is just based on Jack Burton is parodying Snake Plissken. He's the meta version. He's more in control.
He's more aware
of what's happening, where Snake is just trying to survive.
It's
but Jack is a little more, he's aware of what's happening. And I think that gives him an advantage in this fight.
That is an incredible power. You're not wrong. And it is, I will say, it's a better movie if Jack Burton wins. That's a funner movie.
Here's the thing. This is a tie.
Yeah. This is a tie.
This is an official tie.
And I just I want to say a couple things. One, I'm actually kind of a little bummed at how quickly I arrived at my decision. Like, I feel like I should have thought about this more. But I also want to be clear that I did just think about this a lot.
Yeah.
we'll say for like, 46 minutes.
Yeah, like to make it right, like not to. You know, to illustrate that I've thought about this, I want to say that there's going to be contextual details here that will matter in the outcome. I think either way, like whether or not Jack Burton is with his friends, you know, if he's got a pretty woman to impress.
Sure.
Does it makes a difference if he's got the 6 demon bag or the magic potion? Makes a difference. Also, similarly, if Snake Plissken, whether or not there's, you know, an authority figure for him to piss off.
Yeah.
Or whether or not he's got like a bomb detonating in his vein time limit thing.
Yeah. Some kind of weird techno virus.
Yeah. Yeah. These things matter because they will, I feel like they will influence the outcome.
Fair.
But contextual details aside, I gotta go. Because also I want to say, I don't think it's that Jack Burton could do what Snake Plissken did in his movie, either movie.
I feel
like you put Jack Burton in Escape from New York, he dies.
He dies pretty quick. Yeah. You're right. he says the wrong thing to the wrong person.
I also feel like if you put Snake Plissken in Big Trouble in Little China, he wins.
Yeah.
He succeeds.
Man,
there.
That's a good logic, wins, line of logic.
He wins maybe faster.
Yeah. Having said that, I go Jack Burton here.
What?
Those things aside, like again, all day, it's like the underdog that beats the Patriots. It's like the Eagles beating the Patriots.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the, I believe in miracles. It's
right.
Like, it's the, cause yeah, you put Jack Burton in New York, he's dead. You put Snake Plissken in San Francisco, Chinatown, he succeeds. But you put Snake Plissken up against Jack Burton. Jack Burton does some dumb fool shit.
Yeah.
And wins by accident.
Snake Plissken is just a little too dangerous. He's too much of a villain, you know, for Jack.
Yeah.
You know, Jack Burton is he's the ultimate underdog. You're right.
And I think Andy tapped into something. There's something very underdog about Kurt Russell.
Yeah. Truly, though.
In a Kurt Russell off.
Which is insane because look at him.
Yeah. But that's the thing.
Discounted Adonis.
But he's got this like accessible charm about him that he's like, what, me? What?
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
And you're like,
Mr.
Okay.
Everyman? And it's like, dude, you're the most handsome man on the planet.
Kurt.
You
shut
used
up.
To play baseball.
You're beautiful.
Fucking like you were with Goldie Hawn forever.
Well,
like
all
your
right.
kids are gorgeous.
Oh, come on. Yeah. Get out of here.
Your eyes look like the ocean.
Well, I mean, maybe the left one.
isn't a human being that wouldn't trade places with Kurt Russell at any moment. But also, 100%. Like, poor Kurt Russell.
No. It is, though. It's weirdly come in. Yeah, come in, Kurt. Have some soup. How have you been?
Yeah, and Jack Burton is kind of just the distillation of that.
You're
right.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know he didn't vote Republican, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you believe that about him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, hell, I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, son of a bitch must pay.
Andy, thank you so much for joining us, man. We cut right through these like butter because some people fucking get it, and you're one of those people.
Thanks.
Where can the people find you on the internet?
Oh man, am I in there?
You're in there.
Oh shit,
I've seen you.
How do I get out?
He's right behind you, guys. Yeah, wherever you are, he's right behind you.
Oh wait,
on the internet.
I'm right behind them. I get it now. Okay.
Yes.
I am on Twitter at Andy_Sell, SELL. And you can find my podcast, Ghoul School, a horror history podcast on the Unpops Network. And that's what I got right now. Instagram also at Andy_Sell. I got other stuff coming, but.
Go follow those things and keep abreast of the sell. That's what they call it when they're selling Andy Sell.
I've never heard that before.
Welcome to the bleeding edge of podcasting.
I mean, look, you know, though, you're because you also our last names are very similar. One,
I got a doll every day. They hit me with the Barbie doll.
Yep. Oh, doll face, right? All the time.
Doll face, all the time. I used to tell a joke about it where it's like, that was always scary. That was always a scary thing to call people. Dolls' faces are inherently spooky. Anyway, you can find me all over the internet. I'm Razor Lou. I'm on the Twitch these days playing video games. I just downloaded for free Final Fantasy VII, so I'm playing that all the way through. So come play it with me.
And as always, you can find me on Twitter at VoteSamWiles, just screaming about bullshit. And listen to my comedy album, Regular Guy Out of Hell. It's on Spotify and iTunes.
Definitely do that. And I think that does it for this episode of Fight Island. Why don't you count us down there, Sam?
1, 2, 3.
All right, break it up. It's all over for Fight Island.